So some high-level on the base, six lines from the bottom. We started talking about yesterday Machloikas Rabba and Rav Chista on the question. Now, we said in the Mishnah that if the person shechts the Korban Pesach on behalf of Arelim, who can't eat from it, or on behalf of Tmeim, or several other categories, then the Korban is possible. We also mentioned in that connection that, on the other hand, then you had that rule applies particularly as far as shchita. There's a general rule that applies to korbanos called shinui bailim, where if you say that I'm doing the if you do the avoda of the korban on behalf of somebody else, not the owner of the korban, then it's possible. That, though, we learned yesterday, primarily really only applies to zrika, or to the extent that it applies to other avodas, it's when you have in mind doing them that the zrika is going to be done for somebody who's not the bailim. And that's no good. With the Korban Pesach, you have something special. And we said, Rashi said it's basically an extension of that. Tosfos says it's a new psul, that if you shecht the Korban Pesach, specifically the Korban Pesach, which is meant to be eaten, if you shecht it, having in mind that psulim are going to eat from it, then it's no good. So then we started asking the question, what happens if you did the zrika having in mind you did the shchita having in mind that during the zrika, arelim are going to have their kapara with it. We're using kapara in a bit of a loose sense over here, because the Korban Pesach is not really for kapara, but in other words, that you're shechting it having in mind that when you come to the zrika, that the arelim are going to be yotze with it, that they're going to be thought of during the zrika. So we had machlokes Rabba and Rav Chista, whether the korban is possible or not. Rabba said yes, and Rabba said it doesn't even matter. So far, we said Rabba says it doesn't even matter if his thought was only about the arelim, that his thought during the shechita was in advance that come the zrika he's going to have in mind only the arelim. It's fine. There's no issue of having in mind arelim during the zrika at all. And Rav Chista had said it would be possible. And we went back and forth on that and on proofs about it. In the course of it, we had a brisa where we said that where the brisa was trying to learn the psul of arelim from the psul of tmeim, and we said on the other hand maybe you should learn it from the psul of pigul, and therefore it should apply even if you only had a machshava on a little bit of the korban, or on a kazayis of the korban. And we ended up saying that we learned from a posuk. We said you have a posuk zois, which is a mute, and you have also the fact that it says kol oral lo yechol bay. So what we said is Rabba would understand the word kol oral means only if that he would say that the word zois is the word zois is teaching us the word kol oral is teaching us that only if you have arelim exclusively in mind is it a problem. And then, how do you know that doesn't apply to zrika? So the zois tells you it doesn't apply to zrika. Whereas Rav Chista had said the other way around. He said that he said the zois is actually coming to tell you that this that we're saying that you need exclusively arelim and that would be a problem is only by shchita, but zrika is more chomu than that. The opposite of Rabba, who says that zrika is more lenient, Rav Chista would say zrika is more chomu, and therefore if you have even some arelim in mind during the zrika, then it's going to be possible. Okay, so that's where we were up to this point. So now, Maskif Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi says, I have a question on this premise. You're assuming all this time, both Rabba and Rav Chista are assuming that the word kol oral means as only if he has a machshava of all arelus. So then, Rabba and Rav Chista are both saying, therefore, by the shchita, it's only possible if you have in mind only arelim. And as we said in the Mishnah, if you have in mind mulim as well as arelim, then it's fine. And then when it comes to the zrika, then you have the machloikas where Rabba would say even if you only had in mind arelim, then it's still fine. And Rav Chista would say if you have any arelim in mind, then it's no good. So both of them are taking the word kol oral to mean exclusively arelim. So that's what Rav Ashi is asking me. Mai dahai v'chol oral kula mashma. How do you know that the word v'chol oral means exclusively arelim? Dumahai v'chol oral mashma kol dehu ha'orla. Maybe. maybe the v'chol oral means any amount of oral. Sometimes you have the word v'chol, sometimes you have the word. A kol in a pasuk means any amount. For example, when it says kol chela v'chol dam, lo seichel, it doesn't mean all chela and all dam. It means any chela and any dam. We had in this, when we were discussing about chometz earlier in our mesechta, v'chol kol machmetzes lo seichelu, didn't mean all machmetzes, it meant any machmetzes. So the same thing over here. Maybe it means any amount of orla. And therefore, you could argue kasa rachmana zois. And therefore, you could argue, on the contrary, from the word kol oral, you would misunderstand and think that even if you only had some arelim in mind, together with some mulim, it's no good. And therefore, kasa rachmana zois to add the ikakola oral like pasla. And then you would say that the zois means that only if you have exclusively arelim in mind. Therefore, loishna b'shchita v'loishna b'zrika. So it wouldn't matter shchita or zrika. So then, in other words, what's the basis of the machloikas of Rabba and Rav Chista then, in that case, if we understand it that way? Elam or Rav Ashi. So rather, Rav Ashi says, let me give a different example. Let me give a different explanation of the machloikas. And it's interesting, by the way, we had before Rabba himself explaining his shita a certain way. Now we're actually going to have Rav Ashi saying that, no, I'm not accepting Rabba's own explanation of his shita. I'm going to present a new explanation of his shita. So he says like this, Rav Chista v'Rabba b'hai kroka miflidi. What they're arguing about is concerning the following pasuk. It says, v'nirtzaloi l'chaper olav, in general, by Korbanos, the pasuk says that the korban will be accepted for him to be mechaper on him, and the word olav is extra, because of course if it's being accepted for him, it's on him. So what does the word olav teach us? V'loi al chaveroi. It comes to teach us, but not on somebody else. This is where we learn the whole concept of shinui bailim. This is what we talked about yesterday, that if you shecht Reuven's korban having in mind Shimon, or not shechting, actually we said zrika. If you do zrika, which is the kapara after all, of Reuven's korban having in mind Shimon, then the korban is going to be possible. This is where we learn it from this word olav means v'loy al chaveroi. So therefore, so now the machlokas is, how do we apply that in this case over here? Now we know that so Rabba Sava chaveroi dum yedidei. Rabba says the chaveroi for this purpose has to be somebody who is similar to him. Mahu debar kapara af chaveroi debar kapara. Therefore, it has to be, what kind of chaveroi would you have to have in mind that could pass all the korban? Somebody else who is capable of having that same kind of kapara. Meaning, in other words, we talked about yesterday, for example, when it comes to a chatas, if they do the zrika of Reuven's chatas on having in mind Shimon, and Shimon himself is not, in fact, chayav chatas, then the korban won't be possible, because Shimon is not bar kapara, he's not somebody who is subject to this kind of kapara right now. So now, then Rabba argues, we mentioned that also yesterday in connection with the Korbanos Tzibur, that for that reason there was no such thing as Shinui Bailim by the Korbanos Tzibur, because if you had in mind Goyim rather than Jews, wouldn't matter, because the Korbanos Tzibur are not Shayach to Goyim. So therefore, once we figure that way, says Rabba, then La Puki Hai Oral Delab Bar Kapara Hu. Well, then an Oral is not subject to Kapara, because he is not able to be Yotzef with the Korban Pesach and eat from it. Therefore, if you have in mind, Rabba says it wouldn't matter. It would be the equivalent of having in mind, the people who are eating from the Korban Pesach as well as a Goy, or even exclusively a Goy. It wouldn't matter. He's not Bar Kapara. Rav Chista says, I agree with that basic concept, but hai oral nami, but when it comes to the oral also, kivin de bar chiyuvahu, since he is, after all, somebody who is chayev in the mitzvah, unlike, for example, a goy who's not chayev at all, bar kaparahu, therefore we can call him somebody who is to whom this kapara is applicable, hoyol di iboy masakin nafshe, because if he wanted, he could correct himself, namely, he could get a bris milah. Now, all along in the sugya, Rashi regularly explains, whenever we talk about an oral in these connections, we said before, Rashi explains it means that shemesu echov machmas milah, that his brother has died as a result of milah, and therefore he's not able to have a bris milah now. Nonetheless, though, the fact is, even though he's not able to, if he does, he's putting his health at risk, he's putting his life at risk, and he's not allowed to do that. But b'di'evad, the fact of the matter is, if he did do a bris milah, or if somebody did it for him, the fact is, he is now gemalot. So therefore, so Rav Chista can consider that he still is bar kapara in the sense that it could happen. There is a maisa that needs to be done to make him not an oral anymore. Fine, but Rav Chista doesn't care about that. Therefore, Rav Chista says he is considered a bar kapara relative to this korban, and therefore you could say that when they had him in mind, then it would make the korban possible. So Rashi explains that now before we were assuming that the Arelim we're talking about, it could be that they're Menuyim, they could be registered for this particular Korban Pesach, could be not. We said it really didn't make, Rashi had said before, it really didn't make a difference. That was according to the original assumption of the Gemara. Now Rashi is saying that according to Rav Ashi's understanding, we have to be talking about that these Arelim are not even registered for the Korban Pesach. Because if they were, then yeah, you could talk about that they are more Bar Kapara because they are registered for it. But if they're not even registered, then if they're not even registered for it, then Rabba is saying there's no problem, and Rav Chista would still say there is a problem.
Okay. But it's a circular logic, because you cannot be registered without when being an RO.
Well, no, you could. You could register for it, and you're paying your share towards it. One second. You're not going to actually eat from it as long as you're an oral. So the possibilities are either I'm registering now as an oral, and then sometime before Pesach, I'm going to arrange a bris milah. Think of it. That's how the Jewish people did it in Mitzrayim, right? They bought their Korban Pesach on the 10th of Nisan. They didn't have their bris milah until the 14th. So it is possible to register for the Korban Pesach while you're an oral, and just, of course, if it still ends up that when it comes the time of the Shechita, you're still an oral, then you're going to have to withdraw. We're going to have to kick you out of the group. Fine, but meanwhile you were a manui. So now what happens if they didn't kick him out of the group? So then we can talk about there would be a problem if they had him in mind. Even according to Rava. But if we're saying if he's not even a member of the group, and still the person who's doing the zrika, had the zrika we're talking about, had him in mind, then Rava would say at that point there's no problem anymore because he's certainly not a Bar Kapara. And Rav Chista is saying, nevertheless, the fact that he could have made himself a Bar Kapara is still reason enough to consider that now, even though he's not registered and he's an oral, is reason enough to pass all the carbon because you have in mind during the zrika.
Where do you know that if he's a Naro, he can be registered?
Because the fact is, of course, registering just means that he's saying, I want to join in this Korban Pesach and I want to pay money towards it. You don't find anywhere that an Oro can't do that. You find that an Oro can't eat from the Korban Pesach. So obviously, when it comes to actually eating, he's going to have to make sure that he's not an Oro anymore. But the registering itself, a person can register for whatever they want. Okay, let's go.
What's the point of Okay.
The point of registering would be, again, that if he's not an oral by the time the Korban is brought, then good, he'll be able to join in it. So the question is, Umi Isle de Rav Chista Hoyl, does Rav Chista in fact hold of this concept of Hoyl, that we should say that right now he's not, right now he's still an Oral, but he could have mauled himself, and therefore we should say that he passels the Korban. But we had a discussion, we had this a couple of weeks ago. If somebody bakes on Yom Tov food that's going to be eaten on a weekday, so we said then, we're talking this on Daf Mem Vav, you had somebody has already finished his Yom Tov meal, he's not going to be eating any more today, but now he goes and bakes, where of necessity then he himself is not going to be able to eat the food that day. Rav Chista Amar Loika, Rabba Amar Ani Loika. We said Rav Chista says he gets Malkus because he's preparing food on Yom Tov that's not needed for Yom Tov. He's preparing from Yom Tov to Choyl. Rabba Amar Ani Loika, and Rabba says that not. Rabba Amar Ani Loika, I'm in Choyl, v'imikli lelei orchem chazilei, because Rabba says that after all, if guests would come, then they could eat this food. So therefore, we can't say that he was. Therefore, we can't say that he was mechalal Yom Tov. And even though in the end, even if in the end the guests don't show up, we can't give him malchus on that basis. And Rav Chista Amar Loika, Loi Amrin and Hoyo. Rav Chista says, I don't care about Hoyo. So therefore, Hashanami Chazilei Veloi Loki. So therefore, Rabba would say that even now we consider it is suitable for him, even though right now there's no guests. Therefore, he's not getting malchus. But Rav Chista Amar Loika, Loi Amrin and Hoyo. And Rav Chista says, we don't say Hoyol, and he gets Malkus. So they seem to be going backwards. Here Rabba is accepting Hoyol, and Rav Chista, and so here Rabba is not accepting. In the case of baking on Yom Tov, Rabba is saying Hoyol, Rav Chista is saying no. And here, in the case of the Korban, it seems the other way around. Rabba isn't worried about Hoyol, and Rav Chista is. So the Gemara says, "Bishleima the Rabba leKasha." Now, within Rabba's opinion, fine, there's no contradiction because Hocha Mechusa Maisa, Hosam Lo Mechusa Maisa. Because after all, here, in order to apply Hoyol, you need an actual. In order for him to be kosher, in order for him to be a Bar Kapara for the Korban, he needs to be something. Needs to be done. An actual Bris Mila needs to be done. That's a Maisa. So as long as that Maisa wasn't done, then Rabba's not going to worry about it. as opposed to chosim b'loy mechosim ma'isa. There, we're not actually lacking a ma'isa. Orchim have to show up. That's not considered a ma'isa. That's just they were there and now they're here. That's not a ma'isa. So therefore, there he's going to apply chayil. Ela de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista kasha. But how are we going to understand Rav Chista? Why over there he doesn't care about chayil and all of a sudden here he is? The answer is Amri. So they answered, Ki lesle, the Rav Chista hoyel lakula. You know when Rav Chista doesn't hold of the hoyel, only when we want to use it lakula. Like in that case, to pater him from Malkus, Rav Chista is going to say nothing doing. Lachumra isle, but when it comes to accepting it, lachumra, then maybe even, then Rav Chista will say that we have to accept hoyel. Which then Tosfos says, in that case, that would imply that the whole concept of hoyel maybe is only drabanan, because if it was really daraisa, then there wouldn't be a difference, lakula or lachumra. Dinim daraisa across the board. With that said, you have the Ramban on the Reef has a whole different explanation of hoyel there and here, which would allow it to be daraisa in both cases. What does he say? So he discusses about this whole matter of hoyel that you have. Let's see, like this. So you have. Rav Chista is going to say that when it's b'chosa ma'isa b'bailim, he's going to make a distinction whether you're b'chosa ma'isa b'bailim, whether what you're lacking, what needs to be done, involves the actual owner himself. For example, over here in this case, where you need an actual bris milah, so there we're not there. So then we may say it. The fact of the matter is it could be done, and therefore we would apply it. He goes on further and says that in this case over here with the Korban Pesach, anyway, in order to be machsheret, you need akira, you need to actually have in mind something that you didn't before, and that's different. So whatever, let's not get too far into it. It's a little complicated, but anyway, the Ramban has a different explanation of hoyel that would allow us to say that it is actually daraisa. Okay, onward. So according to this explanation of Rav Ashi, then the machloikas of Rabba and Rav Chista has to do with hoyel, and we're talking about where these arelim are, according to Rashi anyway, are not monui at all. They're not at all registered for the Korban Pesach, and the question is still whether machshava about them can passel it. Okay. So now let's go back to, we said before we had a braisa where we were trying to learn the psul of arelus, what the din of it is. Would we say that it's possible only if he has exclusively arelim in mind during the shechita, or even if he has some arelim in mind during the shechita? First, we tried to compare it to tuma. Then we said, but maybe you should compare it to pigul. And we went back and forth until we finally said we have a posul. So amar le mazutra breder amari l'ravina katoni. Now we said in the braisa, in the course of the argument, hoyov orla paiselas v'tuma paiselas. We said orla pasels because an oral is not allowed to eat from the korban pesach. And if you have in mind exclusively arelim during the shechita, then it's going to be possible. But tumah poiselus, and tumah also possible. You can't, people who are tumah can't eat the korban pesach. And if you have them in mind, it's going to be possible. And therefore, we should make a comparison between them. A mamatzinu ma tumah loy osim al mikzas tumah kol tumah. Just like when it comes to tumah, if you have only some tumahim in mind, it doesn't. If you have only some tumah, then it doesn't matter. Only if all tumah af orla loy osim mikzas orla kol orla. We said the same thing should apply to orla. Only if you have all orla. So the question is, Reb Mazutra wants to know, Hai tumah hechi dami? What kind of tumah are we talking about? Remember, when it comes to tumah involving karbonis, you have two possibilities, right? You have the person who eats it is tumah, or you have the meat is tumah. So what are we talking about over here? Ilema betumas gavri, are we talking about the person is tumah? So what do you mean that a little bit is not the same as the whole thing? Means that suppose you had four or five people who are tomei, another four or five who are registered for the same korban pesach who are tahor, loy pasul lohu tmeim l'tahorim. The tmeim won't pasul the tahorim because he's having all eight or ten of these people in mind. And as we said in the Mishnah, if he has l'tmeim v'l'tahorim in mind, then that's fine. Well, you could argue Dabi Ola Nami. Nu, the same thing we know applies to Ola. Hole Pasli, then also it doesn't passel. That's Nan La Mulim La Relim Kosher. The same logic would apply if you had four or five Arelim and four or five Mulim. Then also, if you had all of them in mind, then it would be kosher. So the question is, okay, so the din is the same in both of them, but the question is, in the Braisa, why are we assuming one more than the other? Maishna Tuma de Pshitale, why is it with Tuma, we're taking it as a given that if you have some Tmeim and some Tahodim in mind, then the Korban is fine. And why would it be all of a sudden by Ola that you would be having a suffix and therefore have to resolve it going back and forth with the Mamatsinu and eventually have to bring the Pasuk? Ela b'tumas baser. So evidently then, Mazutra continues, it has to be that we're talking about the Tuma is that the meat is Tomei. So what do we mean that some tumah is not the same as all tumah? Means de'ilu itami chad me'ivorim. Suppose that one limb of the korban pesach becomes tameh. Hai de'itami safinimle. Then we burn that one that became tameh. The idach achlinimle, and then we'll eat the rest. Okay, so obviously that's what we mean, and therefore we don't. Therefore we can take that as an obvious thing because it's obvious that when part of a korban becomes tameh, then the whole thing is not possible. Well, if we understand it that way, Ema Sefer, so B'mai Ukimta, so how are you explaining the Braisa thus far? You're saying the Tumas Basar, you're saying that you're talking about where some of the meat became Tomei, and you're drawing the distinction between whether some of it is Tomei or whether all of it is Tomei, and therefore you're trying to use that as a basis to say the same thing if you had some Arelim and some Tmeim in mind, as some Arelim and some Mulim in mind, but Ema Sefer, but continue, we'll look at the next part of the Braisa. Donin Dover She'ena Noi B'chol Hazvachim, Midover She'ena Noi B'chol Hazvachim. Prove something that you learn out something that does not apply by all korbanos from something else that does not apply by all korbanos. Ba'al yachiyach zman shenoyeg b'chol hazvachim. And then we said, on the other hand, don't try to prove from machsheves zman where that concept that will make it pigul applies equally to all korbanos. So what do you mean then? In that case, my tuma. Then what kind of tuma are we talking about? Ineim a tumas baser. Do we mean tuma of the meat? What do you mean? Am I noyeg b'chol zvachim? What do you mean? It's not noyeg by all zvachim. By all zvachim, by all korbanos, the same rule applies. Whatever became tomei is tomei, and you can't eat. Whatever remained tahor is tahor, and you can eat. So that does apply equally well by all zvachim. Ela pshita b'tumas gabri. So obviously that part of the braisa has to be talking about the tumah of the people who are eating it. Umay ain't knowing b'chol zvachim. And then, so what does it mean? That there's a unique din of tumah that applies to the korban pesach that does not apply to other korbanos. That would be the ilu b'chol zvachim oral v'tomei m'shalchin korban esehen. When it comes to other korbanos, an oral or a tomei are not barred from bringing a korban. They can't come into the azara to bring it, but they can send it with somebody else. Actually, Tosfos discusses there are opinions that maybe even the Oral himself could come in, but whatever the case, even if we say that he can't, he can certainly send a korban to be brought on his behalf, and a tomei the same thing. V'ilu b'pesach oral v'tomei ein meshauchen pischehen, whereas by a korban pesach, an oral and a tomei are barred from bringing the korban pesach at all, meaning even having somebody else shechted on their behalf. So as we said before, the oral or the tomei could be registered, but we're going to have to withdraw them from registration before the korban pesach is shechted, or we're going to have to at least, if we didn't do that, we're going to have to not have them in mind during any of the avodas. So now the question is, so far you're telling me then the sefer necessarily has to be talking about Tumas Gavri, because that's the only one that's unique to the Korban Pesach compared to other Korbanos. But on the other hand, the Reisha will say, on the other hand, the Reisha on the face of it, we have to be talking about Tumas Basar. Otherwise, there's no reason to think that it should be more obvious that Tumas Gavri, that people being Tomei, is any different than people being Oral. So Reisha b'tumas baser v'sefer b'tumas gavri. So are you telling me that the first we're arguing based on the tumah of the meat, and then we're switching and still talking about tumah? All of a sudden we're talking about tumah of people. What kind of a logic is that? Amale. So Ravina answers yes. Ein shame tumah kaparech. Yes, because in the Braisa we're using the general concept of tumah. And using it as an argument. First, we're trying to derive oral from a case of tumah, and the relevant case of tumah where it should be obvious that it doesn't matter if some of it became, if it's partial, is the case where some of the meat became tumah. Then we switch gears and we say, on the other hand, maybe we should learn from pigul. And we answer that no, because there's a different situation involved. involving tumah, there's a different situation involving tumah where we don't say where it's unique to the Korban Pesach, namely the one about the tumah not being able to participate in the Korban Pesach at all. So it's true, it's two different kinds of tumahs, but we're not arguing based on the specific case of tumah in one. I mean, we are. We're using a specific case of tumah in one and a specific case of tumah in the other, but they're both under the general heading of tumah, and therefore we can use that argument. Okay. The Iboyesema, or another possibility, you can answer Sefer Nami the Tumas Baser. You can answer that maybe the Sefer, when we're arguing that, there's a difference between Pigul, which applies by all Korbanos, and Tumas Baser, which doesn't. And you're saying, but what do you mean? What do you mean? Tumas Baser applies equally well by all other Korbanos. You can't eat the part of the meat that's Tameh, but you could eat the part that's Tahor. What we mean is, So what do we mean? There's a difference between the Korban Pesach and every other Korban means the Ilu B'chol HaZvachim, because when it comes to other Korbanos, Bein Shenitma Chelev HaBasar Kayim, whether the Chelev became Tomei and all the meat is still available to eat, Bein Shenitma Basar V'Chelev Kayim, or vice versa, all the meat became Tomei, but at least the Chelev is available, or enough of the Chelev to be able to burn on the Mizbeach, Zerdek HaZadam, then the din would be that you'd still sprinkle the blood, because by other Korbanos, it's true, they're going to be eaten, but that's not their primary purpose. So even if all the meat became tameh and nobody's going to be eating this korban, it's okay. You can still go and sprinkle the blood of the korban as long as there's something of it to be eaten by the mizbeach, namely the chelev, or eaten by people, namely the meat. The Ilu B'Pesach, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, is different. Nitma Chelev Avosar Kayim Zorek HaSadam. We're going to learn later on, in the next parak, if the Chelev became Tomei, but the meat is still available, then you do sprinkle the blood, and the Korban is kosher. Nitma Basar Chelev Kayim, but if all the meat became Tomei, even though all the Chelev is available, Eino Zorek HaSadam, then you don't sprinkle the blood. So we see, in other words, that there's still a difference. The Korban Pesach, you have to have at least some of the meat available to eat, whereas by other korbanos you don't need any of the meat. So that's what we mean. In that sense, then, even tumas basar, there is a difference between the korban pesach and everything else. Okay.
For other korbanos, can you designate a korban if you're tummy?
Yes, that's what we're saying. Not only you can designate it, but you can send it with somebody else to the Bais Mikdash, and they will give it to the kohenim, and the kohenim will offer it on your behalf. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Order will tell me, but Shabbat will tell me to say, and that's exactly what we're saying. In fact, think of it. We had the other day the case where we had near the beginning of the parak the case where you had a mitzvah, for example, hasn't yet finished bringing his korbanos. He's still a mechusar kapara, but earlier that day he had offered a shlomim, and then we talked about Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka allowing him to bring his final korbanos for being mechusar kapara in order to be able to eat that shlomim, even not on Erev Pesach. So you have a case there of a tamei who's actually sending a korban. Yeah. Okay. Onward.
That was one opinion, though. Yeah, that's halacha.
That opinion's not like him as far as being able to be makriv his korban after the tamei Rabbeinu Abayim, but to be able to be makriv the rest of his korbanos before the tamei Rabbeinu Abayim, sure, nobody will have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says b'mayo kimda. Okay, so what are you explaining then? The whole b'naisa when we're talking about tumah now, according to the second answer, you're saying that the tumah we're talking about in the first part of the Braisa and in the second is tumas basar, the tumas basar. Ema seifa, but look at the next part of the Braisa. It continues that on the other hand, we say maybe you should learn something where there are exceptions, or something where there's no exceptions from something where there's no exceptions, as opposed to tumah where there are exceptions. And what's the exception by tumah? Namely, that b'pashtus, we mean that the korban pesach, even if the tzibur is tumah, then you bring the korban pesach, the tumah, and you eat it, which you don't have with other korbanos. So then we said donin davar shaloi hotu miklaloi midavar. Maybe we should be learning oral from pigul, neither of which ever had any exception. No korban can ever be eaten by arelim. No korban can ever be eaten when it's pigul. And then instead of proving from tumah, where after all tumah you have an exception. Now, what kind of tumah are we talking about where there's an exception? B'mai, what kind of tumah are we talking about where there's an exception by the korban pesach? Elema b'tumas basar. Do you mean where the meat is tameh? What do you mean heicha hutra? Where is it mutter? Even it's not only the korban pesach that's doicha tumah. We're going to learn in the next parak, or not in the next parak, in the seventh parak rather. We're going to learn that there are other korbanas tzibur that are brought b'tumah as well, even if the tzibur is tameh. However, we don't eat them. So obviously we're not talking about tumas boser because korbanos are not eaten even if they're brought b'tumah, they're not eaten b'tumah. So there's no exception to that on the face of it. El pshita b'tumas gabri. Obviously, therefore, we're talking about that when the people are tumah, and we're saying again that there are certain korbanos, namely korbanos tzibur, where you can bring them even when the tzibur is tumah. Well, the heicha hutra miklala, and that's the answer. So where is there that exception? The tzibur, right? When it comes to the korban, a tzibur that we bring them even if the people are tummy. So again, now obviously, therefore, there we have to be talking about tumas gavri, the people being tummy. Okay? So again, reisha b'tumas vasa, seifa b'tumas gavri. So again, how are you working out this braisa? Where we're saying the first part, or maybe even we're saying at least. So according to the two answers in the Gemara before, we're saying that that at least the first part, and maybe even the second part, is talking about tumas basar. And all of a sudden, again, in the middle of the argument, we're going to switch to the case where the people are tummy. And the answer is ain. Again, the answer is ain. Shein tumo kaparach. Again, because we can say that we're using the general concept of tumah. There are different applications of it in different cases, but still we can argue, given that there is a type of tumah where there is an exception, as opposed to a type, as opposed to pigle and oral where there's never any exceptions, then maybe we should be learning oral from pigle. The Ibarisem, a kula b'tumas baser. Another answer is we could say that even that last part of the Braisa is talking about tumas baser. The Heicha Hutra, so where do we find that it's mutter? B'tumas Pesach. Specifically, when the Korban Pesach is brought b'tumah. The Tznan, because that Mishnah says later on, in the seventh Perek, unlike the other Korbanos Tzibur, for example, it mentions over there the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, etc., etc., where those are brought even if the Tzibur is Tameh, but we said you don't eat them, because after all, they were brought B'tumah, but we said Pesach Abba B'tumah Nechal B'tumah, the Korban Pesach is an exception even within that. Namely that if the Korban Pesach is brought b'tumah, nechal b'tumah, you still eat it when it's Tameh, shalai ba mitchilosa Elalachila, because the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach to begin with was in order to eat it. So therefore, when the Torah allows us to bring it, even when most of the tzibur is tameh, the implication is that it's going to be also that it has to be eaten, because otherwise, what's the purpose of bringing it? So in other words, that would apply even if the meat became tameh. So when we say that it's brought b'tzibur and it's brought b'tumah when the tzibur is tameh and we eat it b'tumah, it means even tumas baser. It means even if the meat itself actually became tameh, this is going to be an exception to the general rule that kodshim are not eaten when they're tameh. So you could actually say that all the parts of the braisa, whenever it mentions tumah, are in fact talking about tumas baser. So first we start by arguing that we should look that we should. We, so first we start by argue. First we start arguing. That when it comes that tumah is the mixas is not a problem. Namely, if part of the korban becomes tameh, then it's not a problem. You eat the rest of it. Then we argued. On the other hand, maybe we should learn. We want to learn it from tumah more because tumah and orla, neither of them apply to all zvachim, as opposed to zman pigul applies to all zvachim. So it means the same thing. We said we can answer that it means that an orla is not allowed to bring the korban pesach at all, where he's allowed to bring other korbanos, and a tumah is not allowed to bring the korban pesach, whereas a tumah is allowed to bring other korbanos. We said that in order to make it work about basar, we said there's a difference that the korban pesach you have to have at least some of the basar available to eat in order to be able to sprinkle the blood and make the korban kosher b'chlal, whereas with other korbanos you don't need that. And then the last part of the braisa where we said, on the other hand, we would think to compare it to pigle, where there's no exceptions to orla and there's no exceptions to pigle, whereas there is an exception to tumah. What we say is that means the korban pesach, you eat the meat even if the meat itself is tameh when the korban was brought b'tumah. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's continue. Masiv Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Okay, so now let's go back to, so now we're going back to an earlier part of the discussion. We started discussing a while back that if you shecht the Korban Pesach l'shmoy, then, of course, it's kosher, but only if you do it on Erev Pesach, in its time. If you shecht it l'shem Korban Pesach at a different time, then it will be possible. And on the other hand, we said if you shecht it shaloi l'shmoy on Erev Pesach, it's going to be posel. But if you shecht it shaloi l'shmoy at a different time, then it'll be kosher because then you did akira. Then you're saying it's not a korban Pesach. I'm using it for something else. So the Rav Radio Yeshua says, I have a brisa that says like this: Ha Pesach she'ovra shnosai. If the animal for the korban Pesach is over a year old, now it's only kosher for a korban Pesach when it's less than a year old. Rashi actually mentions an interesting thing over here. Rashi says it was born before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and now it comes this year as Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and it's already a year old. An interesting point is, why does Rashi, a couple of Achronim, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, for one of them, talks about, why does Rashi mention Rosh Chodesh Nissan? Talk about Erev Pesach. It was born Yud Gimel Nissan, let's say. And now, a year later, Erev Pesach, it's already over a year old. So he mentions that there's an opinion of Rebbe that's mentioned in the Gemara, who says that when is a korban considered a year old, not when it's a shnas halavana, a Jewish year, but rather a shnas hachama, a solar year of 365 days. So according to him, you could conceivably have the animal was born a few days before Pesach, 1 year, and it's still kosher for the korban Pesach the following year, Erev Pesach. So therefore, Rashi mentioned Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we're there no matter what, from Rosh Chodesh Nissan to of 1 year until Erev Pesach of the following year, even if it's the shortest possible year, is over 365 days, therefore the korban is definitely going to be possible. Anyway, so if you have a korban Pesach that's over a year old, ushchote bizmanei lishmoi, and then you shechted it bizmanei on Erev Pesach, lishmoi, still having in mind that it's a korban Pesach, or another example would be if you shecht a different kind of animal as a korban Pesach, having in mind that it's a korban Pesach, on Erev Pesach afternoon, Rabbi Eliezer poisel with Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. Rabbi Eliezer says that such things will be possible, and Rashi brings from a Gemara in Zvachim that Rabbi Eliezer makes a kavachomer to say that even the Pesach itself, if you shecht it l'shem shlomim on Erev Pesach, then it's possible. Then how much more so these other animals that are bechlal not even eligible to be a korban Pesach? Then if you shecht them as a korban Pesach, then they should be possible. Rabbi Yeshua Machshir, whereas Rabbi Yeshua says Rabbi Yeshua says that they would be kosher because the fact that it was a different kind of korban and it was shaloi l'shma doesn't matter because all other korbanos that are shechted shaloi l'shma except Pesach and Chatas are kosher. As far as Rabbi Eliezer's kavachomer, he actually kind of flips the kavachomer around to say that if you shecht a different animal l'shem korban Pesach outside of Erev Pesach afternoon, it's kosher. Then bismano, how much more so that other korbanos shechted as a korban Pesach will be kosher. So anyway, the point is, Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rishua says, Taima Bizmanoi, now all of this is only talking about when he shecht, the first case of the Braisa was that he shechted this animal, which is not able to be a Korban Pesach anymore, because it's over a year old, and he shechted Bizmanoi in the actual time on Erev Pesach. Ha Shaloi Bizmanoi Kosher, implying that if it was Shaloi Bizmanoi, then it would be kosher, according to both of them. Now, Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rishua says, Va'amai, why? Neima, shouldn't we say, Hoilo Bizmanoi Posel, Shaloi Bizmanoi Nami Posel? Shouldn't we say that since it would be possible because it's too old to be a korban Pesach, shaloi bismanoi nami posel, then now even if he shechted it outside the time, it should be posel. So why are we saying? So the question is, going back to our case of Oral over here, we said before on Omer Aleph, we said the concept of Hoyol, that we said Rav Chista is going to apply the concept of Hoyol and say that because of that, therefore, if you have in mind the Oral, it's going to be possible. So why don't we, so if we're going to say that, then over here also we should say Hoyol. Hoyol, that if it was shechted at the right time and shechted l'shmoy, then it would be possible because it's too old to be a korban Pesach. Then now also it's going to be possible. So when it's shaloi bismanoi, Amar a papa shiny hosem. So the papa says it's different in that case. De amakra va'amartim zevach pesach hu, because the pasuk says in this week's parasha you should say it is a zevach pesach. It is a korban pesach, meaning hu b'hava yase, means it has to be in its proper state. So therefore loy hu l'shem acherim v'loy acherim l'shmoi bismanoi shu v'loy acherim l'shmoi. Not when you shecht the korban pesach having in mind some other korban, then it's going to be possible, and also not And also not when Acherim, when other Korbanos are shechted having in mind that they're the Korban Pesach. Therefore, Bismanoi, so in the time on Erev Pesach, true Posel L'Shem Acherim, where if you shecht the Korban Pesach having in mind that it's a different Korban, then it's going to be Posel, then Acherim Psulim L'Shmai. Then if you shecht a different animal having in mind that it's the Korban Pesach, then fine, it's going to be Posel. Shaloi Bismanoi, Shu Kosel L'Shem Acherim. But we're going to say the same thing applies, though. Shaloi Bismanoi, the Korban Pesach is Kosel. If you shecht it as some other kind of animal, because then you did akira and you turned it into a shlomim, then you turned it into some other kind of korban. Therefore, acherim kshayim l'shmai. So at that time, we're not going to apply hoyel and say since if you had kept it till erev Pesach, then it would have been used, able to be used as a korban Pesach and become mosel. No, because we're learning both those concepts from the word v'amartem zevach Pesach hu. Then no, we're going to say if you shecht other korbanos, if you shecht a different korban, but having in mind that it's a Pesach outside of Erev Pesach, then it will be kosher. Okay. So therefore, so in that case, we're not going to apply hoyel because the pasuk is telling us otherwise, in short. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a story which is going to circle back to this matter of la'oichlov and shaloi la'oichlov and l'shmoi and shaloi l'shmoi that we were discussing. The Gemara tells Reb Simloi also l'kameh de Reb Yechanan. Reb Simloi one time came to Reb Yechanan. Omalei, he says, Nisni v'imar sefer yuchsin. Rebbe, please teach me sefer yuchsin. Rashi explains, sefer yuchsin is, he says, masnisin de divra yomim. It's brises that explain divra yomim. Now, divra yomim, in particular, the first 9 chapters of divra yomim are very, very difficult to understand on a pshat level. They have genealogies, some of them repeating genealogies that we know from the Torah, others of them being names of people and names of genealogy that we don't know from anywhere else in Tanakh. There's a lot of them where it's very hard, even on a pshat level, to understand the psukim. So there were these brises that explain them, that darshan what the things mean. The Gemara is going to mention at the bottom of the Amud that we don't have most of that collection anymore. We have in various places in Mishnayos and in Gemaras and Midrashim, we have in various places individual drushas on some of these psukim. But the whole mass of material to understand, we don't have. There is, in fact, a medrash that says that Divrei Yomim is meant only for drosha. You're not meant to understand it on a pshat level. You're meant to understand it only on a drosha level. So there was this whole collection of brises on it explaining, giving those droshas, and it was called Sefer Yuchsin. So Rav Simloi is asking Rav Yechanan to teach me that. Omalei Meheichanat. So Rav Yechanan asks him first, where are you from? Omalim Lud, so Reb Simloi says, I come from Lud, and he asks, Veheichan Moisvach, where do you live? He says, Benahouda, and now I live in Nahouda in Babel. Omalim, so Reb Yechanan tells him, no good. Ein nidonin loyla ludim veloyla nahoudim. We don't teach Sefer Yuchsin to people from Lud or from Nahouda. V'choshken da'at mi Lud or Moisvach from Nahouda. You've got a problem on both sides. You come from Lud and you live in Nahouda. Therefore, I can't teach you Sefer Yuchsin. Now, why does he not want to? Rashi gives 2 explanations. One is he just wanted to push him off. He didn't want to teach him Sefer Yuchsin because he felt he's not worthy of it or whatever. So he used it as an excuse that we don't teach it to people from Lud and Nahouda. The other explanation, Rashi says, is people from Lud and people from Nahouda are not miyuchosin. And since Sefer Yuchsin is all about the yichus of the Jewish people and how various great people are descended from the descent and then the family trees of various great people in Jewish history, then we don't want to teach it to Einon miyuchosin. Okay. So Reb Simloi pressured Reb Yechanan and finally he agreed to teach it to him. Omalei, so then Reb Simloi says, Nisniya begimul yarchi. Let's learn it in 3 months. So Reb Yechanan was not happy with that. Shoko kola posif bay. He took a clod of dirt and threw it at him like as an expression of, what are you talking about? He says, he says, Omalei, and Reb Yechanan says, Uma bruya devesu de Reb Meir, Madach bruya, who was the wife of Reb Meir, Brate de Reb Hanani ben Tradin, and she was the daughter of Reb Hanani ben Tradin. So she has tremendous abilities in the fact that she was the daughter of such a great tzaddik, who in fact was killed by Kiddush Hashem. And she's the wife of such a great Talmud Chacham as Reb Meir, and yet even she, and we know how great she was, the Tanya Tlas Meir Shmeitza, the Yoima Migimul Meir Rabavasa, she was able on one day to learn 300 different halachas from 300 different teachers. In fact, Hagoyes Habach adds a word over here, not just B'yoima on one day, but B'yoima D'Shusa on a day when a south wind was blowing, where the south wind is very hot and uncomfortable, and it makes it very hard to learn, even on such a day. And even though usually you learn from different people one after the other, it usually becomes confusing, but she was able to do that. She had exceptional abilities. And Bechlau, we say that Talmud Torah is not usually the province of women. And here we say not only she did, but she was able to go above and beyond like that. And Vafilo Hochi Lo Yotzi De Chavase B'Tlashnin. Nevertheless, she couldn't fully learn through the Sefer Yochsin, these Brises explaining Divrei Yomim in 3 years. V'At Amet B'Tlase Yarchi. You want to be able to learn it in 3 months? So even if I'm going to teach it to you, I can't possibly do it in 3 months. So there is a long, long explanation from Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, on this in Lakutei Levi Yitzchak. It runs to over 40 pages in print, where he explains this whole story and the whole Gemara over here. Al Pi Kabbalah, it's broken. It's broken. I don't know what's. So he has a long, long explanation. Where among other things, he explains that the Korban Pesach, which is after all the subject of our parak, it represents Chochma and Bina. He explains that Sefer Yuchsin also, it's talking about how which children came from which parents, so therefore it also represents Chochma and Bina, which are the parents of the of Zoh and Malchus, of the lower spheres, and therefore. Sort of Simoy wants to learn it, but Rabbi Yochanan tells him that you come from Lud and from Nahada, where the way that people are over there, the fact that they're not Miyuchosim, the fact that also the Gemara mentions elsewhere that they were Bale Gaiva, that precludes you from being able to learn things that are associated with Chochma and Bina on that level. And therefore I can't teach it to you. And he mentions over there Simloy is Meloshin Simla, a garment, meaning like he's only shayach to the chitzonius of Torah, not to the pnimius of it, which Sefer Yuchsin would be among the pnimius of Torah, and therefore you can't teach it to him. And eventually Reb Simloy pressures him into teaching it. And then he proposes to do it in 3 months. Sort of Levik associates those 3 months with 3 months that Moshe Rabbeinu was hidden, and he has a whole explanation of how that relates, and then Rabbi Yechon explains to him that even Bruya, with all of her great capabilities, she's still not able to do it even in 3 years, so what makes you think you'd be able to do it in 3 months? Okay. Ki Shokov Ozel, so now when Rav Simloy was getting ready to go, so he asks, you won't teach me Sefer Yuchsin, but I want to ask you something in Nigla. He says, Omalei Rebbe, ma ben l'shmoi v'shaloi l'shmoi l'oichav l'shaloi l'oichav. What's the difference? Why, if we check the... It's broken. If we check the Korban Pesach, or do any of the other avodas, l'shmoi v'shaloi l'shmoi, then we said it's possible. It has to be exclusively l'shmoi. So why is it, if we check it l'oichav and shaloi l'oichav, why all of a sudden is it going to be kosher? Shouldn't it be the same thing? Omalei, So Rabbi Yochanan answers him. Now Tosfos says, what do you mean? We said before, we learned before from a pasuk that if you have in mind oichlim and she'enim oichlim, then it's fine. So what's the problem? So Tosfos' answer is that the question is, okay, but why don't we learn that if we're going to say that la'oichlim b'shaloi la'oichlim is kosher, why don't we already, by the same logic, say that l'shmoi b'shaloi l'shmoi is also kosher? So why would we say that l'shmoi b'shaloi l'shmoi is still possible? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan says to him, Hoyo v'tzurva min abonanat, since you are a young Talmud Chacham, tova emalach, then come and I'll explain to you. The difference is, l'shmoi v'shaloi l'shmoi, there's a few reasons why the shaloi v'shaloi l'shmoi is more stringent than the oichla v'shaloi l'oichlav. First of all, psuloi b'gufoi, first of all, l'shmoi versus shaloi l'shmoi is a psul in the actual korban itself. You did the avodah of the korban having in mind a different type of korban. And is a side thing, sort of. So therefore, that's fine. When you shecht it, l'shmoy and shalei l'shmoy, you can't pick out and say a certain part of it is l'shmoy and a certain part is not. The whole korban is partially l'shmoy and partially l'shmoy and l'shmoy. Every molecule of it is, in effect, l'shmoy and shalei l'shmoy. But, whereas when it comes to la'ochlav and shalei la'ochlav, you could pick out, you could say, this part of the korban is on behalf of the oichlim, this other part is on behalf of the she'enin oichlim, and as we said before, you need to shecht the whole animal in order for anybody to eat from it anyway. So therefore, you can say, fine, this part of the korban is reserved for the shalei la'ochlav, for the ones who can't eat a kazayis. But that won't pass all the rest of it. Also, Rashi says another explanation of Efshel Avarer means we can tell whether we can find out later on whether in fact he had this machshava or not. Later on, when he comes to giving out pieces of this Korban Pesach, is he going to be giving out also to the only? Is he going to be giving only to the ones who are able to eat from it? Then we know that all along. He didn't really have a machshava to give it to anybody who's not roi. As opposed to if now he gives it to if he gives it now to the she'enin roi, and then fine, we know he had that machshava in the first place. So Rashi says, in that case, so what happens? Again, we said before, you could have psulim registered for the Korban Pesach. Fine, what he'll do is he'll refund them their money. You weren't able in the end to eat from the Korban Pesach because you weren't oral or tamei or what have you. So fine, I'll refund you your money, and it'll come out I didn't have you in mind when I shechted and when I did and when the other avodas were done. So that's another difference between the shmoy v'shaloi the shmoy versus la'oichla v'shaloi la'oichla. It's possible to find out in the end what he actually, either it's possible to designate that a certain part of it is shaloichlav and a certain part shaloi la'oichlav, or that it's possible to know in the end what he actually had in mind based on what he does later on. That's another difference. Another difference, l'shmoy v'shaloi l'shmoy yeshin v'dalad avodis. The concept of shaloi and shaloi l'shmoy applies by all four avodis of the korban, as we said before. La'oichlav v'shaloi la'oichlav ein of arba avodis. The la'oichlav v'shaloi la'oichlav does not apply during all four avodis. We said it only applies during the shchita, as we learned before from Sukkim. And a fourth difference, l'shmoy v'shaloi l'shmoy yeshne b'tzibur k'b'yachid. Another difference is l'shmoy v'shaloi l'shmoy applies equally well by karbonas tzibur as by karbonas yachid. L'oichlav v'shaloi l'oichlav ein b'tzibur k'b'yachid. As opposed to l'oichlav v'shaloi l'oichlav is not relevant by karbonas tzibur because there's no korban tzibur where the eating is an essential part of the korban. Only the korban pesach is it such an essential part. And
So now Rabbi Yochanan knows that Rabbi Simon is a Talmid Chacham. Why he still refuses to teach him Sefer Eichsin?
So we said before that either he didn't want to teach it to him b'chlal, or that he's not miyuchas. Rashi had said the second explanation is that he knows that Rav Simloi isn't, that people from Lud or from Nahauda are not miyuchas, and therefore it's not appropriate to teach them sefer yuchsin. According to Rav Leva, because explaining the idea is that Rav Simloi, being who he is and being where he comes from Lud and Nahadar, respectively, he is not shayach to the pnimius of Chochma and Bina that is represented by Sefer Yuchsin. The chitzonius of Chochma and Bina, which he explains, the Korban Pesach and the shchita of it and the eating of it, represent Chochma and Bina as well. Fine, those Reb Simloi has a shaychus to, so therefore he can be learning about dinim of the Korban Pesach, but to learn Sefer Yuchsin, which is an inner aspect, a deeper aspect of Chochma and Bina, that he's not suitable to. So again, before he pressured Rabbi Yechanan into it, but then he said that I want to do it in 3 months, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan said, you obviously are showing that you don't have a proper understanding, you don't have a proper preparation towards it that you should be able to learn it. Okay.
Thanks to that logic, we're missing today the Sefer Yochsin. And secondly, can you refuse to teach Torah to someone?
Yes, you can, if you know that person is not roi for it. For example, you have, even when it comes to Nigla, that if the person is a Talmud she'enei hogun, if he's a Talmud who doesn't have good midas, then you're not allowed to teach him. And in fact, the Gemara criticizes a person who does. First, you work on his midas, and then you teach him. In this case, Rabbi Yechanan figured, for whatever reason, whether I'll be Nigla or I'll be Kabbalah, that Rabbi Simloi is not shy. after this. But yes, the fact that we're missing it, yes, the Gemara is going to go on to say in a minute that actually that is it's a very sad thing that we're missing it. We're going to get back to that in a minute. But wait. Rav Ashi Amar Psula B'Gufei V'Yef Shalavar Isurei Chada Milsi. Rav Ashi says you don't really have four reasons over here. You have three reasons that Lishmoy and Shaloi Lishmoy is different than La'ochlam and Shaloi La'ochlam. Psula B'Gufei V'Yef Shalavar Isurei Chada Milsi. This that Psula B'Gufei, that it's a psul that applies to the korban itself rather than to a side thing, and the fact that and the fact that EF Shalavar Isurei, that you can't designate there's a particular part which is Lishmoy and a particular part Lishaloi Lishmoy, he says Chada Milsi, he really does have just two ways of expressing the same idea. D'matam Omams. Why do we call it Psula B'Gufei? Is Mishum the EF Shalavar Isurei, because it's impossible to designate and say a particular part of it is Lishmoy and a particular part is Shaloi Lishmoy. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, that you can't show afterwards what his machshava was, and they unlike with La'ochlav or Shaloi La'ochlav, where you can see who he gives it to and who he doesn't give it to. And therefore, that would be considered, therefore, not by the Shaloi Lishmoy. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. Amar Rami Bar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Miyom Shenignas Sefer Yuchsin. Ever since Sefer Yuchsin was hidden, so Rashi says that it doesn't literally mean hidden. It means nishtakach. It was forgotten. On the other hand, Marashal says we can mean literally hidden. In other words, there came a point when the Chachamim decided that the people of our generations are not worthy to be learning those things. So again, whichever bits and pieces of them we have in Gemaras and in Midrashim we have, but the rest of it, the Chacham decided that it's not proper to. For one thing, he brings from a Gemara in Kedushin that There came a point in Jewish history when it became dangerous to say who is miyuchas and who is not, because there were powerful families that had psulim in their yichus, but they would forcibly prevent people from revealing this information. So therefore, at that point, he says, maybe at that point, the Chachamim decided that it's not really appropriate to be teaching sefer yuchsin anymore. So therefore, they hid it. But from when that happened, says Rami Bar Yehuda, toshash kochan shel Chachamim, the power of the Chachamim weakened, because now they don't know the deep ideas of Torah that were explained in it. And the light of their eyes was dimmed, because again, now we don't have the great things, the great limudim that we could have learned from those psukim. Now we're lacking those. Which means, also Marsha says that Ma'urenehem means the power of nevuah, the power of seichel and nevuah. So we lack that. And to give you an example how much material we're talking about, Omam Azutra, Bein Otzel La'otzal Te'inu Dalad Meir Gamli D'drosha. Between Otzel and Otzel, they had 400 camel loads of drushas. What is Otzel and Otzel? So Rashi explains, so it's like this. In Divrei Yamin, in Peret Ches, it talks about the descendants of Binyamin, and towards the end of it there, it talks about the family tree of Shaul, and it mentions over there descendants of Shaul for several generations, and it finishes off with, it finally comes down to a person named Otzel, and then it says Otzel had six sons, and it lists their name. And it says, Eila b'nei Otzal, these are the children of Otzal. And then it continues with in Perek Tes with details about the Jews who resettled in Yerushalayim when they came to build the second Mishmikdash, etc. And then at the end of that Perek, again, it gives the same family tree with a little bit of variation. And it also, it mentions at the end, you have the same Otzal and his six sons, and it finishes off Eila b'nei Otzal. So Rashi says, the chapter in between, so from the end of Perek Tes to the end of Perek Tes alone, they had 400 camel loads of drush just on the psukim in that perek. The Aruch says it means even more than that. Each one of these psukim begins, Ul Otzel Shisha Bonim, Otzel had six sons, and then it lists their names, and the same pasuk finishes off, Eila B'nei Otzel, or Kol Eila B'nei Otzel, these are the children of Otzel. So the Aruch explains what the Gemara is saying is that just on that one pasuk alone, they had 400 camel loads of drushas. Now again, Reb Levick, in his explanation, he goes on to explain the idea behind this. In particular, one thing he says is that the six sons of Otzal, whatever, that his six sons represent the six spheres of Zoh, and therefore, that's why when we're talking over here about Sefer Yuchsin representing Chochmah and Bina, then particularly we focus on this Pasuk, or on this Parasha, which mentions these six sons, which represent the six spheres of Zoh that come from Chochmah and Bina. But ultimately, the idea is that, again, there came a point when the Jewish people are not on the level to have this kind of thing. As we see, for example, that even Reb Simloi wasn't on that level. And again, like Marshall is saying, there came the point when people are not keeping track of Yuchsin the way they should anymore. And therefore, at that point, the Chachamim, and therefore, at that point, Sefer Yuchsin was forgotten or hidden away. And now we don't have it anymore. Okay.
So what does this last piece of Gemara tell us? Is that an accusation against Rabbi Yochanan, or is it an endorsement?
It's not an accusation against Rabbi Yochanan. It's saying that there came a point when they were saying it's a very sad thing that Sefer Yuchsin is gone. Before we there was the Sefer Yuchsin, and we learned tremendously great things from it, but there came a point when it was forgotten, or as Marshall says, hidden, and whatever the reasons for it were, it was a very sad thing. And now, without it, the Chachamim are lacking a tremendous thing that they had before. In terms of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Simloi, again, Rabbi Yochanan had told Rabbi Simloi that you're not on the level to learn it. So there would have been other people. There were other people in that generation who would have been on the level. We said Bruria, for example, learned it, although she couldn't even complete it in 3 years. Even 3 years wasn't enough for her to complete it. Rabbi Levick talks about, by the way, that you could. Explaining the Kabbalah behind it, that 4 years actually would be enough, but the Gemara didn't specify that. He also, by the way, he relates that to this whole thing of Oichlov and Shalai Oichlov, where again, the Pesach and the eating of it again represent Chochmah and Bina. That's why we're bringing this question in connection over here. We mentioned four differences between Lashmai and Shalai Lashmai and Oichlov and Shalai Oichlov, because those represent four aspects of Moichin. And then, on the other hand, Rav Ashi says it's really not four, only three, because a different way of counting it is that there were only three, because you can talk about two different levels of das. And therefore, the Gemara is finishing off that ultimately there came a point when we're not able to absorb that kind of chokhmah, that pnimius of chokhmah and bina, and therefore Sefer Yuchsin was hidden away, and it's a very sad thing, because now we're lacking what we would have learned from that. But of course, loss and love, it will be restored to us, and then we'll have Pnimius of Chachma and Bina. We'll go even beyond that. We'll have even higher levels of Gilui Elokus.
So the Korban Pesach represents Chachma and Bina. What do the other Korbanos represent?
So he says, broadly, the other Korbanos represent various Middos. He doesn't go into the specifics which one represents which, but broadly, the other Korbanos represent the other Middos. In particular, he said Chatos represents Malchus. That's why I mentioned the other day. And he explains, this is the deeper idea, why only the Pesach and the Chatas, if they're Shaloi Lishmai, are completely possible, because the Pesach representing Chochmah in particular, the Pesach itself represents Chochmah, the eating of it represents Bina, whatever. So Chochmah, you can't have Chochmah, there's no possibility for any external forces, any Chitzonim, to get any nourishment from it. Therefore, if you have it, Shaloi Lishmai shows that you didn't do it with the proper Chochmah involved, and therefore it's possible. And Chatas is Malchus, where there is tremendous possibility for Chitzonim him to get Yunika from it, and we don't want that, and therefore if it's done Shaloi Lishma as possible. The other Korbanos, we don't want Yunikas from Chatzonim, but if they happen, then it's not as bad. Therefore, the Korban itself will still be kosher.
You're saying that the Korban Pesach, there's no Chitzonim which is going to affect it, and then you're saying that if you don't eat it Lishma, it's possible. So isn't that a contradiction?
If you didn't shecht it Shaloi Lishma, then that shows that it's not that this particular Korban Pesach was not done with Chochmah. So therefore, it's not accomplishing what it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Shkeich.
Shkeich, everyone.
Rabbi, were you able to get into the Sholot tent?